Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm so glad you came back for another episode. Welcome to Sunday and welcome to our podcast. I hope you like these. I hope you find the content interesting and worthwhile of conversation and your thought. We are going to kind of do part two of something we started last week, which was called The Poverty of the Poor. There's a lot of ideas we have about money. There's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of things that we think money is, or things, or whatever, how you phrase that. But I'm approaching this from a very different perspective. I'm looking at it through the context of Scripture, primarily the words of Proverbs. And there is so much in wisdom literature about money. And ironically, money is not the thing that we think it often is. And for that reason, we are spending our time focusing on, today, the wealth of the rich. And so if you didn't catch last week's podcast, I invite you to go back and check out exactly what poverty is. Poverty is not economic poverty, as we almost always assume it is. It's so much deeper than that. And likewise, the wealth of the rich is also much deeper than that. And so wealth, like poverty, is not about money. You see, viewing wealth and money as synonyms greatly diminishes both of them. Now, consider the person who's learned how to do business and how to create economic wealth for themselves. And let's just say this person started a business with a very small amount of money. But they had a goal of growing a business and serving people with their products or services. And they wanted to grow their business. And over time, they did. And let's say this person now has $20 million to their name. That's a very successful business by anybody's measurement. Now, would you say that a person who has won $20 million in the lotto is equally as wealthy? Now, depending on how you answer that, gives up your own definition of what you think wealth actually is. You see, wealth is not the same as money. And this illustrates that illustration that I gave you illustrates that wealth is a skill. It's not the means, right? It's not the cash. It's the means to generate cash. The two people in the example will not make the same decisions going forward with their $20 million, will they? And as a result, in 10 years, they're not going to have equal amounts of money. It's very likely that the person with more money who earned it and had the skill to earn it is going to produce far, far more. And the person who had it given just in a lump sum will probably burn through it, just like we see with most lottery winners. They're bankrupt. We have professional athletes who are on multi-million dollar contracts who can't even make it to the season without a stipend, or that 2 years after they retire, they're bankrupt, right? This is all because of the lack of skill. It's not that they lacked economic wealth, okay? So wealth is a decision-making skill. Let's make that definition clear. As a result of that economics, or that decision-making skill, should I say, economic gain is a common byproduct of that skill. And it's not guaranteed, though. You can have great skill, but not see great wealth in terms of money, you see. Proverbs 10:15 says, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the poverty of the poor is their ruin." So this is kind of pointing out a couple of things. And one is that it gives us a kind of a portal into what is a city, right? Money is the passport to experiencing a city. Oh, sure, you can visit a city, and even with little or no money, you can get an idea of what it's like. But the more money you possess, the more opportunity you have within each and every city that you would ever visit. And that's a key piece here, because it's money, while it's great in the middle of a city or among people or in a community, it's worthless on a deserted island. You see, if you're at the North Pole and there are no shops, having a lot of money is not helpful. You see, the wealthiest person on a deserted island is the one who has the decision-making skills for thriving in that environment. So this helps us really get our heads around what wealth really is. It's decision-making skill within a particular environment. And so you might have great decision-making skill in one environment and poor decision-making skills in another environment. And I see this all the time in medical world, where you have brilliant doctors who are horrible in business. They can hardly run their practice successfully. Okay? So the wealthiest person in any situation is the one with the decision-making skill. You see, they understand something about the environment that the others don't. That's what makes them wealthy. Now, this may not be the same person in the environment who has all the power. Right? Just because you have the skill to make the right choices doesn't mean you have the power to make the choices. That can be very frustrating. You know, in the Bible, the story of Joseph, he was the youngest of 12 sons. He was a slave in Potiphar's palace. He was a prisoner in Egypt, but he was the wealthiest in every single one of those scenarios. He had the most decision-making ability and skill. Of course, it wasn't granted him that until a number of things came to place. Now, as a result of that, he did become the second wealthiest person in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. Now you can see why the Bible calls decision-making skill wisdom. Decision-making skill is wisdom. So wealth is wisdom. Did you hear that? Wealth is wisdom. Not always, right? If you're going to the definition where you think wealth is having money, and you look at somebody like our current president and you think, gosh, he seems to lack wisdom, yet he's a billionaire, then you've missed the definition that I've presented so far. Okay? The scripture says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Okay? Wisdom is not the accumulation of knowledge. Now, a lot of people think that if you have more knowledge, you'll become wise. No, you have more knowledge, you gain more categories about more things, but you don't necessarily gain skill, right? We know that you don't have to have a lot of knowledge to have wisdom. A child can say something profoundly wise, yet they have very little knowledge. Meanwhile, you can have a very learned professor with a vast amount of knowledge in many, many subjects who lacks any skill with that knowledge. So knowledge is great. That's what our education does. It produces knowledge, but it doesn't produce skill. The skill to use the knowledge we possess is known as wisdom. Okay, and so from here we can see why economic gain follows wisdom or skill in finances. In fact, the design of the world is to economically reward those with great skill. Think about that. Our world is set up to economically reward those with great skill or wisdom. See, skill and wisdom prosper just about anything that it touches. If you're going to redo your basement and you're going to go do drywall, you can gain knowledge of how to do it from a book at Home Depot. But the person who's been laying drywall and hanging it for a decade is going to come with a certain set of skills and wisdom that is going to produce a result in the drywalling of your basement that's going to be 10 times better than what you can do, simply because they gained that skill over time. So, this is an important fact. skill prospers anything. If you have better skill at baking bread or making pancakes, your pancakes will be better. It's just the way it is. Now, our purpose in life then is not to pursue riches. And that's where we get derailed. We think, well, I just want to go after the money. And we miss it. Our purpose is to develop our skill, to become a master at something or a couple of things. And most of us get this backwards. You see, money is the byproduct. It's not the end product. You don't go after money. You go after the development of your skill, your God-given talents, the thing that makes you who you are. And of course, it's really hard to do that if you're not aware of yourself. Now, to do this, we have to find that area in our own life where we're infused with talent and spend our life developing our craft so that we can bring it to the world in service. The diversity of our world actually creates the creative environment for beginners and experts to find expression of their gifts. I mean, whether you're just starting out, either as a young person or as somebody beginning to develop a new skill, there's always a place for you to start and develop it further. There's always somebody just a little bit further along who can coach you and help you and build you and serve you and empower you. And in everything, there's always a master. Somebody's been doing it a long time and knows a lot more about it. And ultimately, you can get there given enough time and effort and output to learn and practice and develop your skill and your craft. It takes about 10,000 hours, they say, to master something. But see, the world is set up in such a way that no matter where you are on that curve, you can start today and you can become the developer of your skill. As you develop that skill, the money always comes. Now, the diversity of our world creates those environments so that they can express those gifts. Now, your contribution to the world does not diminish my contribution to the world. You see, a lot of people have this very competitive view of the world that, like, well, if I have to go after that and you're also going after that, then only one of us can possibly get it. What if instead of a competitive environment, the world is actually set up in a way that if you help each other, you both get it? Now, we don't see it that way because we always have this zero-sum idea, and that is what the heart of poverty creates in us. But your contribution to my knowledge doesn't diminish it. If I share something with you, I'm not less knowledgeable now because I gave it away. In fact, both of us are now better off. So each contribution is generative. You know, like an apple that produces several seeds, and those several seeds produce several trees that produce several hundred apples, which produce several thousand seeds. It's generative, right? One thing multiplies and becomes many, many things. And your gift to the world is generative just as mine is. I make you better, you make me better, we all make each other better. That's the design. And our purpose then is to engage with each other and not compete with each other. But yet, deep in our heart and our soul, and this is where you have to do the soul work, is you think, well, I'm not going to bare my cards. I'm not going to let them know what I know because that's my advantage. I'm not going to give that away. And when you do that, you not only hurt yourself, but you hurt the world. You potentiate the disposition of scarcity and poverty. Okay? It's a very interesting model if you can understand it. So to serve the world, we have to do so with the most developed us that we can bring to the world. And that's why disengagement is poverty. And Jesus promotes this principle vividly in his parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. He essentially gives three different people three different amounts based upon their ability. And of course, the person with the greater ability produced the most. The person with the medium amount of ability produced the medium amount. And the person with the least amount of ability produced nothing. The result was that he was extremely pleased with those who produced and extremely displeased with that one who did not produce. The point here is that everything that you have, your gifts, your talent, your treasure, your time, is to be invested into the world. You don't sequester it into your own life and hunker it down and keep it and store it up. It's to be given away. And as it's given away, it's potentiated. And this is how God's world has been designed. Of course, in order to do that, you have to know yourself, don't you? And sadly, this process can be corrupted. You see, some people out there gain a lot of skill at doing evil. And some become masters at manipulation and control and oppression and abuse. And when this happens, the generative flow of production actually slows as the evil plunder the world instead of giving to the world. They take things for personal gain and ego instead of redemption and renewal and expansion. And as a result, competition and scarcity replace service and abundance. And there's always a skillful hacker out there. I've always wondered this. These people who are just genius hackers to get into these complex computer systems. But they could otherwise use that skill or wisdom for the good of others, and yet somehow they don't. So yes, evil exists, but only because confusion exists. Confusion is the byproduct of poverty. Confusion is the byproduct of poverty. And so while the person hacking is thinking they're doing far better for themselves than they could if they were just serving in a company in a different way that helped humanity, they're actually acting out of tremendous poverty. Poverty is the suffering of not knowing oneself, not knowing your true gift to the world, of not really having the freedom to express who you are, who God has made you to be, to give yourself freely to the world without an expectation of what that's going to do, but just to put it out there because that's where it needs to be put. That sequestering of the soul is called poverty. It's the suffering of not knowing oneself. And by contrast, we can't have more wealth than the knowledge of ourself. And so we have to engage in this spiritual soul work of discovering who we are and who we are in God. And those two go together. As we gain inner awareness and spirituality, we gain wealth, we gain skill. So while evil exists and it sells our news machine, it's the minority. And it will only be short-lived. And consider this verse out of Proverbs. It says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth, or whoever gives to the rich will only come to poverty. You see, the design and true flow of the world is to bring our unique gifts to bear and spend our life developing them for the sake of others. These are the rails of true commerce and social engagement. Suffering is the confusion that results from veering from this course. It's exciting to watch the wave of conscious capitalism that's emerging all over the world. And I know a lot of people in social justice who are really down on capitalism. Can I just say, yes, there are corrupt capitalists out there. I'm not talking about that. Go check the link that I've put in this post on conscious capitalism and learn just exactly how it's changing the world. Nothing has eradicated economic poverty more than conscious capitalism. Okay? Think about that. If you really want to do something with poverty, you need to start a solid business. That's the solution to the world. And Proverbs says that one who gives freely only grows the richer, and another withholds what he should give only suffers want. This is, again, reinforcing this principle of who you are and your nest and the requirement of all of us to put it out into the world and not just sequester it. And since wealth and wisdom are skills, every decision before us each day is a gift that will move us into or out of conformity to the truth. So you can't dwell on the past. Just let it go. Forget about tomorrow. The only thing you have is your next decision. And try and meet that next decision as a place where you can move into conformity to a better world. Make the right choice. One good choice begets another. And scripture says the rich and the poor meet together and the Lord is the maker of them all. Proverbs 22:2. You see, no one's exempt from this process. Nobody gets away from this. Though we all start in very different places. So you might start with a lot. Well, a lot will be expected. You need to put a lot out there. You might start with very little, and it's okay to put a little out there, but put it out there. One good decision, like I said, begets another, and so does the bad decision. The world we create comes from the only thing we have power over, which is right now, this very moment. All we have is our next decision. So, will we squander it, or will we invest it? You see, folks, wealth and poverty are not destinations, but places from which we make our choices.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.